Coming today on Negotiate Your Best Life with Rebecca Zung.
One of the hallmarks of narcissists is that they're extremely likable to the outside world. They're like the greatest salesman on earth in a lot of ways, very intelligent, masters at reading people. So love bombing is the first of the manipulation tactics. And right from the beginning, they're reading you to see how they can best kind of worm their way into your lives and put themselves in a position to be able to do things, to you, and have control. So the big questions are these: how can we navigate and negotiate every situation in our lives, in our career, in our businesses, in our relationships, and even with ourselves for our own self-worth? In other words, what if you could win every time and have no losers? Let's face it, we're not negotiating just to buy a car or for a pay raise. We are negotiating for living in every aspect of our lives. How can we do that powerfully, successfully, and victoriously? Those are the questions, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Rebecca Zung, and welcome to the time where you negotiate your best life. Welcome to another episode of Negotiate Your Best Life. I'm Rebecca Zung, and today's topic is narcissist's favorite manipulation tactics. So today we're going to talk about the tactics that narcissists use to manipulate and punish their victims. And the first thing that they want to do is get into a position of being able to control you. So they want to appear as charismatic and perfect for you as possible. So the narcissist relationship really is basically three phases. And sometimes they do overlap with each other. And it's love bombing, devaluing, then discarding. And it really always starts with love bombing. It ends with discarding. And then, there's kind of like this toxic stew in the middle of love bomb, devalue, love bomb, devalue. And then even in the discard phase, you can see love bombing happening sometimes too. And I'll talk about that here in a minute. And I do have videos on YouTube about love bombing, devaluing, discarding. You could definitely go check those out if you want. But they come across extremely likable, extremely charismatic. They are master manipulators, very, very skilled at reading people and very, very skilled at figuring out exactly what will look perfect to the person that they are targeting. And remember that narcissists don't target you because you have no value. They target you because you have so much value, because they need to get that narcissistic supply to feed their ego. So they almost like attach to you to suck the value out of you, because they think that they can kind of cloak it onto themselves. One of the narcissists, or really both of the narcissists that I had to deal with, they kind of like almost wanted to become me in some weird way. It was a very strange situation. I felt like my identity was being stolen. They wanted to stand exactly where I was and be me. But then there was also this devaluing going on, and smear campaigns and all of that. It's so insane, that whole thing. One of the hallmarks of narcissists is that they're extremely likable to the outside world. They're like the greatest salesman on earth in a lot of ways, very intelligent, masters at reading people. So love bombing is the first of the manipulation tactics. And right from the beginning, they're reading you to see how they can best kind of worm their way into your lives and put themselves in a position to be able to do things, to you, and have control. They don't come along and be abusive right from the beginning. You never would have gotten into that relationship if they just came along that way. So they come off seeming really, really perfect for you. And even when you're not in a romantic relationship with these people, if it's a business relationship, they still come off as if they're like the perfect gift from heaven. You can't believe how wonderful this person is. If it's in business, they are the perfect business partner for you. They have all the right contacts. They can make all the right introductions. They can put you in incredible places and elevate your career by being with them. And if it's a romantic relationship, obviously they're perfect for you in every way. They have the perfect job. They take care of you. They say how amazing you are. If you're a guy, you're the most handsome thing they've ever seen, a total Adonis. If you're a woman, you're the most beautiful woman they've ever seen. They can't believe how perfect you are for them. They move it along very, very quickly. They've never had another soulmate like this. They've never been in love like this before. You know, whatever they need to say to suck you in. And that's really one of the first ways that they start being in a position to manipulate and punish their victims is that love bomb stage. So that's one of their favorite manipulation tactics. The next one is ghosting. So the next thing that you'll notice is, and by the way, these manipulation tactics are really in no particular order at all. You know, they do start at love bombing, but then everything else is sort of like just something, you know, it's things that they do. Sometimes I think it's almost like a to-do list for them, like a checklist. So let me do that. Let me do that. Check, check, check. But ghosting is the next one. And, you know, you've gone through the love bomb stage and now all of a sudden you can't get in touch with them. They've been texting you for days on end, 20,000 times a day. And now when you want to call them out on something or you want something from them or you need something, all of a sudden they can't be found. They're not there. They're not responding to your texts. They're not showing up when they're supposed to. Maybe they're, you know, they're just gone. And then when they resurface and you question them on it, it was, oh, I was busy. How dare you? I was working, something like that. And especially if you're calling them out on their behavior or questioning them, you know, maybe it's they're speaking to someone that they shouldn't have been. Maybe they've been particularly flirty. And you call them out, they might start ghosting you. They'll just totally ignore you. And that's one of the ways that they punish their victims. And just remember that ghosting is different than you going no contact. One is you protecting yourself. The other one is them using it as a way to manipulate you and get control over you so that you're like, ugh, begging for them and wanting them and you know, worrying about what's happening and going back and forth with yourself. And you know, it's a way to torture you, basically. The next thing that they use is one of their favorite manipulation tactics is triangulation. This is where they start trying to make you jealous. Sometimes they are lining up flying monkeys to be against you. They're talking to other people. They're trying to make it seem like they have a better relationship with other people or that that everybody else thinks that they're so wonderful. And that you are the only one that thinks something. And these are some of their favorite sayings, by the way. I have a video as well as a podcast on narcissist favorite sayings. So check those out if you want to know more about the kinds of things that they say. You know, then when you question them on people that they're talking to that they shouldn't be or that seems questionable, they'll just say, you know, oh, what's wrong with you? You're being overly jealous. You're making too much of it. You're reading too much into it. And, you know, maybe it's a work relationship or, and they're saying they just need to have a work relationship with this person or that they're trying to build a better relationship with neighbors or friends or whatever, making you question yourself as to whether or not you're blowing it out of proportion, because that's what they try to make it seem like you're doing is blowing it out of proportion. So those are a couple of different ways that they use, triangulation tactics to manipulate you. So the next one is devaluing. And I mentioned this a little bit earlier, which, you know, they go into this devalue stage. And this is where they start to put you down. And sometimes it's just like little subtle things like, you know, you better, you know, and they might even like, especially if they're a covert narcissist, that they might couch it in like, I care about you so much and that's why I'm saying something, you know, like, oh, do you really want to order that hamburger? You better be careful because, you know, if you keep eating the way you are, you're probably going to, you know, gain a lot of weight. You know, you're already starting to look a little bit thicker in the middle. I mean, I'm just saying this because I care about you. And, you know, or just little things like, you know, forgetting details about your life that are important to you. Oh, what's the name of that person again? Or, oh, I don't remember you telling me the story of the thing that happened at work or whatever. And it's something like that's really, really important for you. And they just kind of like blow it off, and they just sort of little ways to let you know that they don't really care about what you're up to. They show little interest in what it is that you're doing. I mean, just little devaluing. You know, they forget to get what you wanted at the store. Oh, sorry, forgot. Just, you know, usually it's pretty subtle in the beginning. But it's just enough to let you know that you're being devalued. I mean, maybe it's nitpicking something that you cleaned. Oh, I went behind you and I cleaned it because, you know, you missed spots. Just things like that. The next thing that they do is passive aggression. And, you know, this is really where you see this, and especially in covert narcissists. And I do have a whole bunch more on this in my video and in my podcast. I have two, you know, episodes, one video, one audio on the covert passive aggressive narcissist, which is the personal ones that I detest the most because I had to deal with two of them in my own life. I fell prey to a couple of them, which I never will again, by the way. I know way too much about it now and have learned so much about narcissism, which is why I buried myself in learning as much about narcissists as I possibly could, because I really wanted to understand the personality type. And by doing that, I was able to figure out how to apply my knowledge of negotiation to my knowledge of narcissists and actually come up with the Slay program to help people, to help you guys who are dealing with narcissists in a negotiation setting, actually move the needle. It was then that I was actually able to start moving the needle for my clients and so that they were able to get the settlements that they deserved and walk away from this situation and actually be able to be done with that person and have that person understand that there's no more supply to be had in this particular situation.
Coming up, more on Negotiate Your Best Life with Rebecca Zung.
And why do they do that? First, yes, they do want you to do what they want you to do, but it also all comes back to narcissistic supply, which is the holy grail for narcissists. Everything they do is driven by narcissistic supply. It is like the rat in the maze going for that cheese. Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? BetterHelp can assist you today with your own licensed professional therapist, private, online, super convenient. You're communicating in less than 24 hours, no waiting room, no leaving your house even, and they are committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches. So it's easy to change therapists if you need to change therapists. They can help you if you're wherever you are in the world, worldwide, with anything such as depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, sleeping, trauma, anger, family conflicts. Anything you share is confidential, super convenient, affordable. I want you to start living a happier life today. And so as a listener, you get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/breakingfree. Join over 800,000 people by taking charge of your mental health. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/breakingfree. Are you struggling with how to negotiate and win? Maybe you're dealing with a personality that's particularly challenging, like a narcissist or other high conflict personality, and you're feeling powerless. Make sure to download my free Win My Negotiation cheat sheet at www.winmynegotiation.com.
Take a listen to our archive, where you can listen to more episodes that show you the path to how to negotiate your best life.
Understand what surprises a narcissist. It's really important that you understand what makes them tick to begin with.
And now we return to today's show.
So passive aggression is something that I've had to deal with. And it's just little subtle drip, drip, drip things that are so small that sometimes you just feel like, oh, I'm making too much of it. Am I going crazy? It's often death by a thousand cuts where you think, well, that just didn't seem right. And usually with covert narcissists, they do things that where there's like plausible deniability. And what I mean by that is, you know, like they might say, like, let's say you're waiting for them to give you money and you have an email exchange where you say, you know, you need to put money into the bank account because I need to pay the bills. And they write back, well, they'll take care of it. And you write back a few days later, there's still no money in the account. You said that you were going to give me money. And then they come back and they say, no, I never said that I was going to give you money. I said I would take care of it, meaning that I will take care of the bills. And so you're like, what do you mean by that? Are you going to be paying the bills? And so if anybody's reading these emails, they're thinking, well, they said that they would take care of it. They're saying that they're doing it, but they're not doing it. And so there's like this plausible deniability where they can go, look, I said that I would do it. And I said, I would, you know, and then maybe they eventually do it, but you have to play this game. You have to go through this, this game that they want to play. And it's, you know, passive aggression can also be, you know, you ask them to do something, they say that they will, but then they never do, you know, like clean something or do something in your business. And it's these little things like they're nice to your face, but then they just do these things that just don't seem right. And to the world, everybody thinks this person is wonderful and kind and generous and amazing, especially the covert narcissist. And you know that it's not right. You know something's wrong, but there's not, you know, it's like hard to put into words and tell people, well, you know, they didn't clean or something, you know, and it just, you end up sounding sort of petty, but you know that they're doing it to try to drive you crazy and make you, and get control over you. So the next one is gaslighting. And, you know, this is all narcissists use gaslighting to manipulate and punish their victims. I have a whole video on gaslighting tactics. I've had several videos on that. So go make sure you check those out. But this is something all narcissists do. And they do it, by the way, not just to you, but they gaslight everybody. It's kind of like a huge way that they get along in the world. And that is like, even though you're looking at evidence and you see the facts of something and you know what the conversation was that you had, they make it seem like that's not what you're seeing. That's not what you're looking at. That's not what you heard. That's not how it went down. You're remembering it wrong. You're taking something out of context. Even if you have an email or something, I mean, this is one of the things that happened in my relationship with one of the narcissists that I was dealing with, even though I would have an email that said, this is what the conversation was. And mine was in a business setting. The person came back like, oh, we talked about this and you agreed to blah, blah, blah. Even though the email didn't even say that, but they'll just say, well, but that's the conversation we had or whatever. You agreed to that. And of course, it's not something that I would have agreed to. But you slowly start to lose your mind. And that's what happens with gaslighting. You're just starting to slowly, slowly, slowly lose your mind. And it's exactly what you have seen in your relationship with a narcissist. So the next thing they do is they go from degrading and insulting you and love bombing you into the last phase, which is discarding. And maybe it's you discarding them or them discarding you. And during that phase, you'll see the birth of the smear campaign. And again, you know, if it's a covert narcissist, they might couch it in terms of like, I'm so concerned about her. She's drinking so much. And I just, you know, it just breaks my heart to see that happen. Something like that. And so during this phase is where you might sometimes see hoovering. And hoovering is a type of love bombing, but it usually happens during the discard phase where you are, maybe starting to gain some traction, starting to get like some power under you. And then they come back and they go, oh, you know, we don't really need lawyers. All of a sudden they're your best friend again. Oh, we've always been able to work things out. Oh, you know, you're looking so good. Maybe a little booty call kind of a thing, who knows? But they want to, you know, get you away from your lawyer, or get you away from your therapist or whoever they think might have some other form of control over you. And why do they do that? First, yes, they do want you to do what they want you to do, but it also all comes back to narcissistic supply, which is the holy grail for narcissists. Everything they do is driven by narcissistic supply. It is like the rat in the maze going for that cheese. So don't fall prey to that that hoovering. It's just usually a tactic to manipulate you, control you, and punish you so that they can get what they want. Narcissists are, even though they're the most horrible people to deal with on the planet, they're actually very simple to understand. And once you get them, once you figure out that everything they're doing is to keep as much narcissistic supply as they can possibly get, and you're just part of that scheme, you're part of that manipulation, it really is easier in some ways. Because as long as you understand that if you're in the zone of their world and you can possibly continue to be a source of supply, they're going to keep you around. So when you're going to negotiate with the narcissist, that's one of the things that you need to remember the most, is that everything they do is driven by narcissistic supply. So this is by no means a comprehensive list of the things that they do to manipulate and punish their victims. I mean, certainly in a divorce setting, they do all kinds of things like weaponize the court system, use children as pawns, ignore court orders, ignore requests not to produce financial documents, on and on and on. Intimidation, threats of intimidation, threats of violence, lying, stalking, all kinds of things I've seen in the divorce process, which they do even in dissolution of business settings or dissolution of business partner settings. They act the same way they do in regular life, only on steroids and 1,000 times worse. So, if you are dealing with a narcissist in your life, and please don't feel like you are alone. I do have a private Facebook group, which is called Narcissist Negotiators with Rebecca Zung. And I do highly encourage you to check that out and come join me in that. There are many, many others who are dealing with exactly what you're dealing with, toxic personalities, people who are really targeting and causing lots and lots of pain in people's lives. And, you know, it's so comforting to know that there are other people who are dealing with exactly what you have been dealing with, and who can actually also, maybe they're a little further along in the process, and they can offer you guidance and support and ideas and all of that. So come join me in that. If you haven't gotten my free Crush My Negotiation worksheet, you can do that at winmynegotiation.com. Come join me on YouTube and subscribe to my YouTube channel. And also this podcast, if you like this episode, give it a like, share it out so that other people can get access to this information. You know, write a review, drop a comment. Do what you can so that other people can start to get access to this information as well. So thank you so much for joining me on this episode of Negotiate Your Best Life. I'm Rebecca Zung. And remember, today is a great day to start negotiating your best life. Thanks for stopping by and listening to this episode of Negotiate Your Best Life. I'm Rebecca Zung. Check back next Monday for more inspirational pearls of wisdom. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, I'd love if you would give it a 5-star rating and tell me what you liked in a review on iTunes. Also, be sure to grab your winning negotiation cheat sheet at winmynegotiation.com. And remember, today is a perfect day to start negotiating your best life.